come now to another verse that gets people into boxing rings and slugging it out. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how troublesome the book of 1 Timothy is. Maybe that's why Paul wrote it. Mm-hmm. To give Tim a heads up on what's coming your way.
Yes.
Because being the presiding elder and playing dodgeball are very similar. Because there's all the time something being thrown at you.
Yeah.
Generally, it comes from a person you hadn't expected. And generally, it's a blind side. So you need really to be ready. And Paul is equipping Timothy here. The first verse of chapter 3 took a whole hour. As you remember, it will not go that quickly today. So it's going to be maybe half of the second verse. A bishop, we dealt with that last time, must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Can we just run down the verse a little further? Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. You're getting a list. You're getting a map. You're getting a litany here. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For a man not know how to rule his own house, how should he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. So, on and on Paul goes. The list here, if you just consider all of the items on it, you'll conclude that you've never met anybody that meets the standard that's established here.
Yes.
And if it is a set of standards, then fire everybody.
Yeah.
Because you've not met the person that has all of this good report of them that are without, all of this, not a novice, and less being lifted up, and all of this, having his children in all subjection. You've not met the person.
Yeah.
And I'm going to suggest to you that a way to consider this is to consider it as not so much a litmus test, but as an evaluation.
Yes.
Because we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses, and it is the wise person that plays to his or her strength and has help to deal with the weaknesses and to cover the weaknesses. I give you the example in your notes this evening about a baseball player, and they're always looking for a five-tool baseball player. That's someone who can run, someone who can throw, someone who can hit for average, someone who can hit for power, and someone who can feel the ball.
Yes.
You don't get many.
No.
So, what if you've got a player that can hit 295 and hit 40 home runs? You're going to keep him on the bench? No. Those are Hall of Fame numbers. Somebody that can hit 295 and 40 home runs, and he's fast besides that. But I said he's fast. He's not fast. I couldn't make up my mind, could I? He's not fast. And his arm is average. You'd think his mitt was made of stainless steel when he goes to catch a ball. It goes clink and falls on the ground. So what do you do with a guy like that? Right, you play him deep.
Yes.
Because he can catch up with the ball. He's fast. He's not fast. I can't make up my mind about this guy. The fact is, he's got an average arm, so what? He can throw it to the cutoff guy. Yeah. The cutoff guy can throw it to whatever base or to home plate or wherever it needs to go. So you accommodate him, is my point. When a person attempts to take the position of the presiding elder, I can promise you that if he has any conscience at all and any heart for people at all, he knows what all his shortcomings are.
Yeah.
And that's a source of great concern because he doesn't want to let people down. So it's good to know what you're not able to do and to have someone in your circle, who covers for you, who backstops you, who can do what you can't do.
Yes.
I, for the longest time, had a gentleman who was helping in our church situation, and he'd drive you nuts. Mm-hmm. He was the most detail-oriented, picayune person on the planet, or in the top five. I mean, he's top two.
Yeah.
I mean, it was if he could go 20 miles and buy the item for $2 less, he'd do it. Mm-hmm. And just picky, and I don't have any detail orientation. I'm not a detailed person. Mm-hmm. I'm not oriented that way. So if somebody's going to be adding up the numbers, let it be the guy that goes to the bank and complains to the bank because they didn't carry the one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I had that guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was perfect for it. So you leave it to me, kind of fast and loose. You give it to him, nothing's fast, nothing's loose, everything's slow, everything drives you nuts. But for him, it was a tremendous thing because he had some responsibility, and he didn't often get that, and he had some respect, and he didn't often get that. And so it worked fairly well together. That's what I think you're looking at here.
Yeah.
In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's about managing the situation. And if you know there's an area on this list where you stink on ice, delegate that.
Yes.
If you're a greedy rascal, then let somebody else make the announcements, because all you're going to talk about is go downstairs and buy this and go out and get your car washed and the ladies are selling fudge. I mean, have somebody else do it.
Yes.
See the wisdom?
Yes.
So I think that's what's going on. If you disagree and you want to say, no, this is how it's got to be, then except for the Lord himself, I don't know who you're going to put in a pulpit, because there's some issues all the way down the line. Now, of course, the word blameless is not the same as sinless. And we know that as we read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless, doesn't mean he was sinless. It means he did those things which were accommodated by the law, and sacrifices and oblations and all the rest of that. So we understand that you're not looking for second blessing, sanctification, and holiness, and the fellow that says he doesn't sin is a liar, so mm-hmm. you ought to disqualify him without asking the second question.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 1, we see this business also of walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. He's not sinless. He took in the turtle dove offering for his sin, as did Mary in Luke chapter 2.
Amen.
So we handle that word blameless. We've already handled that word bishop last time. The bishop, the elder, the teacher, the place where the buck stops, needs to be one who knows what a circumspect walk is, who can anticipate issues, who can see things coming down the road, as Paul taught us in chapter 2. Paul raises issues that weren't in place, just so the issue gets raised, and so that people can get a heads up to it and looking at it.
Yes.
So I think that's really all we're looking at, and it's not a big deal. The sad thing is, when you teach people to believe their Bible, and they do, that's a good thing. And we teach them to take the Bible literally every place they can. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes they turn into knuckleheads on you. And it's really a hard set of circumstances with which to deal. When somebody comes along and reads the clause, the husband of one wife, and he's a young man and is 20s, and he wants to be a preacher more than he wants his next breath. He's single. So what's he do? Go scouting for girls.
Yeah.
As Tina Turner famously said, what's love got to do with it?
Yeah.
It's not about that.
No.
It's about getting married so that then he qualifies. We saw this happen.
Oh, yes.
And he was a nice young man.
Yeah.
And the young ladies were kind of too young. And he's seeing who's the oldest in the Sunday school classes. And meeny, you know, trying to pick one.
Yeah.
Really? What love have to do with it? Nothing. So, the taking the Bible literally and believing the Bible, what did it do? Made a fellow want to do something that was really a wrong thing.
Yes.
So one of the things about the husband of one wife, does that mean no single man can desire the office of a bishop? Does that mean if you're single, that would shut down the Roman Catholic Church, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because they're all single. So they say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens more often is every divorced person is disqualified because they're not the husband of one wife. Dr. Ruckman, who is now married three times, had a lot of problems with that. And so he wrote in his commentary, this man who does not add to or take from the King James Bible, he writes in his commentary, it means one wife at a time. Which I think is adding to. I'm not, you know, don't hold me down to that, but I think that's what it is. So, there are those who would disqualify every divorced person. Does the verse actually talk to the issue of polygamy, which was allowed,
yes,
under the law for the Jewish people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Might be that's the dog that hunts.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody goes there, I'll promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
Under the law, a Jewish man could have more than one wife. Some would say that that's the focus of the verse in a place called Ephesus, where Diana and female goddesses being worshipped, and things are running a little rampant. It's interesting, the New American Bible, which is the Roman Catholic, this is not New American Standard, it's the New American Bible, which is the Catholic Bible, in dealing with verses 1 through 7 of chapter 3, says, passage begins by commending those who aspire to the office of bishop within the community and proceeds to list the qualifications required: personal stability and graciousness, talent for teaching, verse 2, moderation in habits and temperament, verse 3. Did I skip anything? They skipped the husband and one wife part in the Catholic notes. I'm shocked at their lack of intellectual integrity. I'm just flummoxed to think that they would do that. So, no, it's so typical of them. So, I've dealt with one fellow that was a friend of ours. He was the church's song leader. I'd say other than Carol and I, he and his wife were perhaps the most faithful people at the church. If there was work to be done, if there was brick that needed laid or paint, something needed, we were there.
Yeah.
He was allowed to tithe. He could sing, but he couldn't teach a class or be a deacon or aspire to bring a message, because his wife was his second wife. So that put a ceiling on him.
Yeah.
In that brand of the Baptist churches, which is the ones that come out of Arlington, Texas. And that's not unusual. There's a lot of that out there. There are a lot of hurt people out there as a result of that.
Yes.
Now, I know this, a person saved is as complete in Christ as I am, as you are, single, divorced, foot, or horseback.
Amen.
Judicially, the deed's done.
Yes.
Who then am I to tell someone who is complete in Christ what he or she should or shouldn't? Where do I get that authority? Well, it's right here, the husband or one wife. Well, I gave you five other things that could be.
Yes.
Be real careful about this kind of business. Now, Brent Baptist Church in Pensacola was Dr. Peter Ruffman's church, and they were having some problems, and it was headed for a split. There was a man in that church that was opting with the church politics to take over for Doc Pete, and that man was also, like Dr. Pete is, a graduate of Bob Jones University. So the fight's going on. And Bob Jones University got involved. And it was said by the people from Bob Jones University that Dr. Ruckman was not qualified to be the pastor of Brent Baptist Church because his wife had lit out and run off on him. So he didn't have a wife. Husband of one wife, they said he's disqualified. Doc Pete remarries. Bob Jones University then says he has two wives. Doc Pete says, since when is zero plus one
Amen.
So that's the kind of stuff you get into.
Oh,
and I think you'd be real wise to pull the plug and get out of it. And if someone is now he's 90, he has this monthly newsletter that has a circulation of about 30,000. He's written 111 books. He's been on the TV and on the radio for 40 years. You want to tell him to quit?
No.
I'm not thrilled about his behavior sometimes or things he says sometimes, and I think he's got a racist, segregationist streak in him that's about this wide.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yes, it is.
So what do we do? Take him out and shoot him?
Nope.
But he has a point. Since when is zero plus one equal two? That was pretty funny, I thought. You'll find that in his commentary, by the way.
Yes.
A question you might ask, and I don't know how far you want to go down this road, is what constitutes marriage?
Coming together in the Bible.
Coming together, I think it's more than simply the physical. I think there's love and a commitment. But I'll tell you what there isn't. There isn't a ceremony. There isn't a certificate. There isn't a blood test. I mean, none of that's in the Bible.
No.
So, might we just have a hypothetical of our Baptist preacher guy, and he is the husband of one wife. He is forbidding this other guy from being a pastor, because this other guy has had marriage, divorce, and remarried. Haven't I told you before, MDR is the most inflammatory issue? So this guy is saying no to this guy. This guy has one certificate. This guy has two certificates. But let's just suppose marriage isn't about the certificates.
Yes.
Marriage is about the girl in the back of the Chevy, the girl in the back of the Ford, the girl in the back, and this guy's been fornicating his brains out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's only got one certificate.
Yeah.
This guy might be a worse character than this guy.
Absolutely.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Tell you something about this guy. He's a hypocrite.
Amen, amen.
He's got that going for him.
Oh, yeah.
So, if what constitutes marriage in the Bible is what this guy's been doing in every branded car made in America. And this guy has had two marriage certificates. For all I know, this guy's been 15 times more promiscuous than this guy.
Yes.
Who needs me in this? Now it's on the list. If you got a problem with promiscuity and you're married but you've got something going on with the church secretary and the song leader, then that's a whole different issue.
Yes.
So I know in Genesis chapter 2, a man leaves his father and mother in verse 24 and cleaves unto his wife. That is a physical relationship. And they shall be one flesh, that is a flesh relationship. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. My, Paul says something like that in Ephesians.
Yes.
For this cause, verse 31 of chapter 5, shall a man leave his wife, and leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. No rights, no certificate. See what we've done?
Yeah.
So, marriage, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, one of the most stunning verses, marriage is said to be a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's as if the marriage is to teach us about our relationship with the Lord, and that it's rather a laboratory, and we learn some things.
Yes.
Which is interesting. An interesting concept. Now, that being the case, it's not something with which you would want to play fast and loose. But I know something else. I know God divorced Israel.
That's right.
So does God violate 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, so we can disqualify God? We really get into some thin ice here.
Yeah.
And some dangerous territory. If you make this hard and fast, you've got to meet all of these precepts. Mm-hmm. I've met preachers, kids all over America, and the worst behaved children I've ever met happen to be numbered among them.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, verse 4 doesn't count. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you make, and you know what, the two-edged sword is, you taught them to take it literally, you taught them to believe it as it stands, and so they're doing it, but they're making a mess with it. Because actually, there's more choices than they've considered.
Yes.
Paul teaching Timothy. I've got a guy here that desires the office of a bishop. Is he a bishop yet?
No.
He's desiring the office. So here's a guy that desires the office. All right. You desire this office?
Let's you and me go over this list. So you think these things through. Then I've got nothing more to say to you. Here's a list. You think these things through.
Yeah.
A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Blameless, every time you find it in your Bible, is blameless in relationship to the law program.
Yes.
I'm going to take a leap and say the husband of one wife is in relationship to the law program.
Yes.
Where more than one was allowable. And that's why we're dealing with that issue one after the other, blameless and husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, well, we'll get to that. I would have you to notice in Jeremiah chapter 3 in verse 8, I saw when for the causes whereby backsliding Israel, by the way, every mention of the word backsliding is about Israel except one, where it's about a heifer, and a heifer is used to describe Israel.
Yes.
So everyone really is about Israel, and almost every mention of the word backsliding is in Jeremiah. I say that to you because you've got Methodists in the Church of God that think they can backslide and lose their salvation.
Yeah.
Call them the heifer and see how that works out. I'm not a heifer. Well, you're not Israel either.
Amen.
Can I close the door? So in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8, backsliding Israel committed adultery. I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. That is the only mention of the word divorce in the Bible. Now, divorce meant shows up quite a few times. And the euphemism, put her away, shows up more than divorce and divorce meant combined.
Yeah.
When you read the verses and see the utilization of it, one of the shockers is God divorced Israel.
That's right.
Now, of course, that is allegorical language. The doctrine's in place, however. And note then in Hosea chapter 2, in verse 2, the cry from Jehovah is, plead with your mother, plead, for she's not my wife, neither am I her husband, Jehovah with Israel. But in that same chapter, down in verses 19 and 20, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness after the divorce. So God, may I say God is guilty? Does that work? I don't know if that works, but God is guilty of marriage divorce me.
Yep.
If God were a Baptist, we'd have a shooting.
Yeah.
We'd only let him tithe and sing in the choir, and that's it. Can't do anything else. So what I'm trying to put in front of you is that the simplistic look at those few words, the husband of one wife, leads knuckleheads to walk right into a brick wall and do things that just don't make good common sense.
Yes.
They're not good Bible either.
No.
So it's been my experience, and that's all it is, a very limited little bit of experience, that people that have been through divorce, that wasn't their first choice. It's water under the bridge. That is their first choice. To move on, turn the page. I've said for 100 years, and I'm almost that old, that the biggest lie told in America is when the judge drops the gavel and says, Christ, what's new?
Nothing. You're complete in Christ.
Amen.
You're born of His bones, flesh of His flesh.
That's right.
So, it's sad that you take folks that have already felt the hurt and gone through some difficulties and you make it worse.
Yes.
And again, and I've had occasion, I think two or three times, I can name names, where I've said to people, you want to tell him he can't serve the Lord in the manner that he would attempt to serve the Lord. Why don't you go tell him? Because I'm not going. Well, the verse says, yeah, that's what the verse says. I can read. Do you think I've not encountered this verse before? You made it mean one thing, and I can show you four or five other choices. I can show you that you think you're so high and mighty because you've got one certificate. You want to go back in high school. You want to go back in college. You want to talk.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hmm? Mr. High and Mighty, you want to tell me that you were a virgin? Banana.
Right.
Hmm?
Right.
So, see how gnarly this all gets?
Yeah.
I know some things. Because human experience is what it is. You really don't need a ministry of telling people what they can't do.
No.
People figure out what they can't do all on their own.
Yes. Uh-huh.
People tend to be, and this is just me talking, and so I'm not giving you a verse for this, although I could find you several. People tend to be lazy, self-serving, greedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you get somebody that actually wants to do something, and you're going to stand there and say, nah. We're not going to let you because I only see this verse one way, and it disqualifies you. I wonder how many hypocrites have done that.
There are.
I know. Marriage, divorce, remarriage took place when God provided for a bill of divorcement. It was to accommodate a problem. God didn't invent the problem, but He did accommodate the problem.
Yes.
And allow people a little life and move on.
Yes.
What a concept. Now, the Lord Jesus, in His earthly ministry focused on the kingdom, when He refers to the law in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and Luke 4 and 5, Jesus intensifies the law.
Yes.
Jimmy Carter is famous for his Playboy interview where he talked about adultery. And if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. So Carter famously confessed to his adulterous looks at the Dallas cheerleaders and whatever else. I don't know whatever his issues were. But Christ intensifies the law in that these people in their kingdom are going to have the Holy Ghost endowment of power whereby they are caused to walk in God's statutes.
Yes.
So you don't want to let the evil thoughts fester, do you? You're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so Christ intensifies the law. And the Lord Jesus, as He teaches about the issues of marriage, divorce, and remarriage to the nation of Israel, has got the kingdom in view.
Yes.
I don't know how to tell you this, but you're not going to be in the kingdom. You don't have it in view.
That's right.
The world's going to hell in a handcart, and they're enjoying every minute of it. They're ringing the bell as they're going down the hill.
Yeah.
you are here standing against what everybody believes, pretty much. So, the fact that Christ is speaking to Israel about the kingdom shouldn't be lost on people when they read passages such as Mark 10 and Matthew chapter 19, but it seems to me that it is.
Yes.
People who think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are their doctrine are going to be convicted.
Yes.
And after there's been a divorce, if one marries and the other does not, I can give you so many verses that you'd be on Dr. Phil's couch in a week.
Yep.
If you're trying to live under the red letters.
Yes. Oh, no.
What a mess. Now, our Apostle Paul is often used to everyone's disadvantage, I think.
Yeah.
When you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I've heard this used, I read it in books. I know people to this day who give this as advice. But I know something about 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and what I know is what I don't know.
That's it.
And what I don't know waves a red flag for me.
Yes.
Because the chapter begins, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me." Question, who wrote unto you? You don't know. What did they write? You don't know. What was the question? You can only surmise. That's like standing in quicksand, holding a bowling ball in one hand and an anvil in the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going down.
Yeah.
So, someone wrote him, and the first thing out of Paul's mouth is, "It is good for a man not to touch a woman." Is that normal?
It's the Shakers.
Is that normal? You're making my point, the Shakers. So whatever the question was, and whoever asked it, it ain't about the normal situation.
Amen.
People jump ahead and say, "Well, I'm going to use verse 15. So when you're doing marriage counseling, I don't even like the word counseling anymore, but when you're doing marriage counseling, I'll promise you what happens. The woman says, "Well, I thought he was saved, but I don't think so anymore." And she'll want to take a run based on verse 15.
Yeah.
And what's the guy say? "Well, I thought she was saved, but I don't think she's saved." And he'll take a run based on verse 15. They each pronounce the other person unbelieving. Mm-hmm. So they've got themselves covered.
Yes.
I have to be frank and honest. I knew a guy one time who would be talking and talking and talking, and he'd say, "Now I'm being honest with you," and I'm thinking, "You've been lying to me up till now."
Yeah.
"You've been lying to me up till now."
Yeah.
And right in the middle of a 5-minute conversation, he'll say, "Now I'm being honest with you, Jerry." Really? Is this a first for you? But what I'm trying to get at here is, the fact of the matter is, I know enough about my limitations to know there are verses in 1 Corinthians 7, not only can I not exposit, I've read 35, 40, 50 commentaries, they can't either. There's hard passages here. Why? You don't know the content of the letter.
Yes.
You don't know what the questions are. I mean, good night, Nelly. You want to get into bad trouble. A good way to do that is to pretend like you know what you're talking about when you don't.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The best thing to do when you don't know what you're talking about is shut up. Or go to verses where you do know what you're talking
That's
about.
It.
That would be useful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, help me out. Verse 25, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment." Well, is that Bible or is it? Hmm?
see how you can make up.
Well, of course it's Bible. But the Lord gave Paul a lot to say. Apparently not this.
Yeah.
So do I wait at last? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. I may noodle on that one for a while. Yet I give my judgment as one who hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, this is good for the present distress, I say, that it is good for a man so to be. So to be what? Now, people will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and based on verse 15, well, I think, you know, you'd be way ahead to not say anything. Gary Collins, he's a postal digger, a PhD. In his book on Christian counseling, he says on page 453, most Bible-believing Christians, you know, that's just not good enough. If you don't rightly divide, it's not enough to be a Bible believer.
That's right.
That's right.
Without right division, you can only wrongly divide.
Right.
Agree that God instructed marriage to be permanent and exclusive union between a man and a woman who find their fulfillment with marriage. Divorce is nowhere commanded in Scripture, and neither is it encouraged. No, but it is accommodated, and there are laws for it.
That's right.
Divorce is permissible on only two grounds. So what does Collins do? He takes everybody and puts them slap under Israel's law,
yep,
and gives them the same restrictions. He then, well, put a frosting on that with kingdom teaching.
Yep.
So, I've said for a long time, divorce was never plan A. Plan B is we don't take the option.
Right.
Plan B is you've got a life to live, and if you live it for the Lord, I don't know why anybody is stopping you.
That's right. Amen.
Turn him loose. Get out of the way. And if you go through such a trauma and have that as part of your past. Let's say there was egregious sin involved. Why would that be any different from any other sinful activity?
Amen.
It's covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Which you can walk in the newness of life and lay down and leave.
Exactly.
Where do we go with this? There's no good place to go with this. So it's a shame that it's such an issue. The standing of every saved person is the same in Christ.
That's right.
There's a judgment seat of Christ where we'll iron out the wrinkles. But your standing is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your state may be Ohio, but your standing is complete in Christ.
Amen.
There's a Baptist church in Beaver Creek. That's kind of a Ruckmanite outfit, or used to was. And there was a man in a wheelchair who came back from Vietnam, and he was paralyzed from the trunk down. He could use his arms and his head and all, but he was paralyzed. He's in a wheelchair. He comes home from Vietnam in that condition. His wife can't take it. Gets a divorce. This man in the wheelchair met a woman who was a very exceptional lady. And her heart, it just wrapped all around him. And she loved him, and they got married.
Yes.
That man was not allowed to do all different sorts of things that he was very capable of doing. He ran the tape ministry.
Yeah.
He ran Dr. Ruckman's school ministry.
Yes.
He was the most faithful guy in a wheelchair.
Yes.
He showed up more than most folks.
Yes.
His first wife, wheelchair, comes home from the war. She goes, she can't handle, she's gone. Whatever you think of her, notwithstanding, here's this guy.
Yes.
He can't be an elder, he can't be a deacon, he can't bring a message, he can't teach Sunday school because he's divorced. Really? Really? Now, everybody knew his name was Mike, the brother Mike, was more capable of teaching than most of the teachers.
Yes. Absolutely.
These legalistic Baptists said, no, there's things you're not allowed to do. Wow. You remember him full well.
Oh, yeah.
He's a dear, dear man.
Yes.
And so was she. So, it just seems to me sad. We don't have that much in the way of resources as the body of Christ with a planet filled with 7 billion people. We need everybody we can get.
Absolutely.
Pulling on their oar, doing
yes.
everything they can do. And for some hypocritical jerk to stand up there and say, well, you got one more certificate than is allowed. No one's full well. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, buddy. So you know how I feel about it.
Yes.
I've given you, for your own utilization, every verse in the Bible where the word divorce appears. There's one.
Yeah.
Every verse in the Bible where the past tense divorce appears. There's four. Every verse in the Bible where divorce meant appears. There's six. I've got six and four and one. I've got 11 verses. And then there is the euphemism, put away his wife, which is about divorce. And that shows up 15 times. Of those references, two are Pauline.
Yes.
Guess where I found both of them? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where I've already told you I'm over my head.
Oh, yeah.
I've outkicked my coverage.
Oh, yeah.
So, I noticed that neither one is affirmative. So, I take the clue from that I don't go around promoting. She burnt the roast again. We ought to divorce her. I don't go around promoting.
Mm-hmm.
But respecting people as members of the body of Christ on an equal basis is only the right thing to do. I know that one wife business has been used to expel people from ministry. By ministers who aren't apt to teach. Well, that's on the list.
Yes.
By ministers whose household is a wreck. Well, that's on the list.
Yes, it is.
But we'll take this one thing.
Yeah.
That's a difficult
one. Yeah.
We'll take this one thing. We'll hang on.
Yeah.
I've encountered a lot of guys who I didn't think had, may I use the expression, the right stuff. I might give them an opportunity to speak and they're all fumble-jawed and words come out upside down and silly and they're not good. And I've gone door to door with guys that are afraid to knock on the door. I've seen a lot of guys try to do a lot of things. I've heard guys sing. It hurts. It's painful.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about my tinnitus. I mean, one brother went to the nursing home with us for years, and he never hit a note. He had several of them surrounded, but he never hit a note. I've learned, get out of their way.
Yes.
They're trying to do something.
Exactly.
If you can edge them a little toward not singing and talking, or vice versa, in bits, that's fine. But if you disqualify somebody, or you tell somebody you're not able, you better be ready to answer for that at the judgment seat of Christ. And you better be right.
Yes.
You better know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Otherwise, I suggest you shut up. Have a nice day.